there's some of the giants that David had to face. Now, obviously, he didn't have a phone in his day. But that was, silent phones means, when no one wants to talk to you. I don't know if that ever happens to you. You sort of, your phone's not ringing all day. And you think, oh dear, not any friends anymore. Well, there was a stage in David's life when no one wanted to talk to him because he'd fallen out of favor. The next giant we looked at was raging Saul. Basically, Saul was like a father to David. And yet, over a period of weeks and months and years, Saul got more and more suspicious of David and paranoid about him and started flying off the handle at him at the least notice. And David found this all really difficult. He was just a boy when he first got to know Saul. And here was someone he looked upon like a father, and he was being nasty to him and rude and was even trying to kill him. And so that was another giant he had to face. Desperate days was when he had to run. He had to go on the run. He had to leave his wife, his home, everything. When all these support things are taken away from you, what do? So that was desperate days. And there may be times in our lives when we feel like that, like who to turn to. Dry seasons. That was about, those times when even God doesn't seem to be speaking to us. There was David. He lost everything. And he was really struggling. Grief givers. That was when Saul came out after him. And David kept having Saul at his mercy and forgiving him and not harming him. And then he'd say, Saul, why are you chasing me? And Saul said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. And he'd go away and then he'd come back again and try and get him again. And it really took a huge toll. Barbaric behavior was Abigail's husband, Nabal, was really rude about David. When sometimes people say things about you that are not deserved, those are the ones that hurt you most. And then Abigail steps in and stops David having his revenge. Faith wounds, and what was that about? Yeah, I think that was when David just gave up and he went over to the Philistines. It didn't work, but there are times in our lives when we just walk away from God. We say, right, I've had enough. So David went through that as well. No energy was when he realized that wasn't going to work either. So what was he going to do now? Grief was when he heard about the death of his friend, Jonathan. David and Jonathan were really close. And Jonathan and his father Saul were both killed in battle, and David hears about that. So grief is something we all have to deal with. And we learn from David how to deal with it. Difficult choices, what to do next? And he actually asked God. He asked God what to do next. Remember Andy preaching on that one. When you're faced with a difficult choice, don't make God your last resort. Make him the first person you turn to. Because the advice David gets from God is good advice. And results is in him, his life really turning around. And he's set on the road that eventually makes him king. Life's strongholds is when he and his followers need to capture Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem is dominating everything. And it's a godless place. And so it really needs to be dealt with. And of course, with God's help, Jerusalem is conquered. And that time we looked at all the things that dominate our lives. The things that we think are strongholds that we can't do anything about, but that have us in their grip, and how God can help us overcome them. Taking God seriously was about the lesson David learned when he treated the Ark of the Covenant lightly and ended in causing someone's death. And he didn't just lose his temper and say, I'm fed up with this God. He sort of took a step back and said, what did I do wrong there? And he had some sort of chill time, sort of time of reflection. And then, once he'd sorted it all out, then he came back with the Ark. And this time he got it properly, treated it with respect it deserved. Taking friendship seriously. There he was, he's king, but Jonathan was his friend. And he remembered the promise he'd made to Jonathan to look after his family. And that's what he does. There's one of the giants that we have in our lives, the promises we make. Do we take them seriously? Falling from grace, it was Justin led us through that minefield. That was when David, who's now established as a king, doesn't go to war and instead has an affair with one of his general's wives. And when she gets pregnant, he has the general killed. And basically, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Falling from grace. Even the best of people can lose their way. Facing your faults is when God sends Nathan the prophet to confront him about it. And what makes David really great in my eyes was the way that he accepts the criticism. Says, yes, you're right. It was me. I'm sorry. I'm not worthy. You know, it's a really moving passage in the book of Samuel when that happens. Family matters. David Hill, 3 weeks ago, talked about the chaotic family life that David had. And the main reason for that was because he was a polygamist. He had lots of wives. It was his one real weakness, as with the Falling from Grace chapter. And because he has lots of wives, he has lots of children, and basically it's just a recipe for disaster. And he suffers for it. His kingdom is divided for it, and he loses his children from it, and all that sort of thing. And so that's another thing he has to deal with in his life. And Dash talks is when he wanted to build God his temple. And God said, no, I'm going to build you a temple. Being Dash talks ends up actually being a word of real blessing for David. He says, God says to him, I will build your house, and I will raise up a king from your descendants who rule over the entire world. Of course, he's talking about Jesus. So those are the giants that David had to face in his life. And well, as we sort of journeyed with him, we've learned a fair amount from him. But I want us now to go back to the very first of those Can we have the next slide there? The very first episode where David faces a giant. It's a story of David and Goliath. So just listen to this story. And then I'll ask a question. Okay? So you all sort of know the idea. There's Goliath. There's the Philistines. They're drawn up two sides of the valley. And the Philistines were the sort of civilized folks. They had the chariots, they had all the armor, they had all the swords, the weapons, the money. The Israelites were the sort of hill dwellers. They didn't have much, but what they had, they sort of cobbled together. So they're sort of a rabble facing a big army. Okay, and then the Philistines send out their champion, who's called Goliath. And every day Goliath taunts them and says, your God's rubbish, your king's rubbish. If you think you can beat me, then come out, send out a champion to fight me. If the champion wins, then we will all surrender to you. I mean, they don't actually mean it, but he says this every day. And David, who happens to be bringing a packed lunch for his brothers, who's just a wee lad, overhears him. So, I'm from verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. Basically, the king said he'll give him his daughter in marriage. And, you know, it's like a fairy tale. Then Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men. He burned with anger at him and asked him, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know you how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You come down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done? It's the best line in the whole story. Now what have I done? Says David. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the man answered as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, the king. Saul sends for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. I, your servant, will go and fight him. Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. He's been a fighting man from his youth. That's why I love this photo. It really sort of brings out the what's going on here. The wee boy against the huge soldier. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant, he's talking about himself there, has killed both lion and bear. This Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own armor, his own tunic, his coat of armor, his bronze helmet. David fastened on the sword over the tunic, tried to walk around because he was not used to them. I can't go in these, he said to Saul. I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch in his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, The Philistine, with his shield bare in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog? You come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine, that's Goliath, moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. What a great story. Wasn't that a good story? You can sort of picture it happening. So here's the question. Next slide, please. Derek.
Oh, sorry.
Why five stones? How many stones did he need to kill Goliath?
One.
Why five stones? Here's the thoughts of, what's his name, who wrote the book that we're working our way through. I can't remember his name. Max Lucado. Here's Max Lucado's thoughts. And they're quite helpful. These were the five stones. Let's see if this works now, Derek. Hang on. Let's see if this doofer works. You ready? Yay! The first stone that he carried with him, now this is speaking metaphorically now, was the stone of his past. Remember what happened in that passage where he goes and says to Saul, I can kill him, and Saul says, don't be ridiculous, you're just a boy. He said, hang on, I was just a boy when I was out in the desert looking after the sheep, and a bear comes, and I managed to defeat that, and a lion comes, and I managed to defeat that. I didn't do it in my own strength, I did it because I asked God to help me. That is the stone of his past. In other words, David knows from past experience that God is going to be with him, he's going to help him defeat his giant. So, I mean, when we face the giants in our lives, whatever those giants are, the first stone we need to pick up is our memories of how God has looked after us in the past. That's the first stone. Second stone, prayer. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 57. This is David. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster is past. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. And then he goes on, he talks about being in the midst of lions, in the midst of wrath. This was a prayer that David wrote when he was in that desert time. When he was completely abandoned, all he had was God to hang on to. David's a man of prayer. If you're facing giants in your life, that's the second stone you need to pick up, the stone of prayer. Talk to God about it. He knows your needs. The third stone, priority. This is probably when people start thinking of P's, so you've got past and prayer, priority. This is probably the most difficult one to squeeze into the mold. Basically what Max Lucado is talking about here is the fact that it is not his honor or his pride that, or his name that's at stake in David's mind. It's God's. You see that when he's talking to King Saul. You see that when he's talking to the men from the Israelite army. What have we done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why should he defy the armies of the living God? You know, it's pride in God. It's concern for God's reputation that drives him. So, I mean, when you're facing a giant, remember, it's the name of God that's at stake here. It's not just your name. It's not just your life. God is on your side. He will not let you down. That is what was at stake. The fourth one, passion. You notice when Goliath comes, oh, I'm going to feed you to the dogs and all this sort of stuff. David does go, oh, well, I'll just take five and just go and have a think about this. David starts running towards him. Don't run away. Okay, Goliath got surprised. What's going on? You're about to run away. Everybody always runs away from me. Giants basically are bullies. We get all sorts of giants in our life, but they're basically bullies. They're used to people running away from them. David runs towards them because he knows he's got God on his side. And then the final one, persistence. Why does he pick up five stones? Because there might be more giants. He might deal with Goliath, and then another bunch of giants might come out. There's a tale that Goliath actually had four brothers. Maybe they're saying, oh, we'll sort him out. So it's to do with the fact that, yes, we do have to face giants in our lives, but just by winning one battle doesn't mean to say the war's over. You need all those five stones in your back. And you need to just keep going. And all those giants that David faced in his life, I mean, he started with Goliath, then look at all the other things he had to deal with. That's why we can learn so much from him. So, that's a very, very quick summary, because we took a bit of time earlier on talking about evening worship. But here's a question for you just to think about. What are the giants that you're facing in your life just now? What are the big things that are causing you to lose sleep, to worry, those insurmountable problems that you just can't see your way around? Just think about that for a minute. What are the giants that you're facing in your life? Now, John. Here's a very neat little rhyming couplet. If you focus on the giants, you will stumble. If you focus on God, the giants will tumble. I don't think you make a good song out of that, maybe a kiddie song. But it's true, if you focus on the giants, you will stumble. If you focus on God, the giants will tumble. Let's pray. Loving God, here standing before you now are people who have put their trust in you. We know that when we put our trust in you, it doesn't mean to say the giants go away. But it does mean that we can overcome them in your strength. And so we pray that whoever or whatever those giants are, whatever those things are, whoever those people are, who are draining the joy out of our lives just now, causing us concern, causing us worry, causing us fear. It may be future employment, it may be the health of a loved one, it may be something to do with our own health, it may be something that we really want to do but just can't think how we're ever going to do it. It could be anything, but whatever those giants are, remind us of those five stones that David picked up. Our memories of your faithfulness to us in the past. Your readiness to listen to us whenever we turn to you in prayer. The fact that it's your honor that's at stake here, not ours. The fact that you call us to run towards our giants and not run away. And the fact that you'll always be with us, however many giants we face. Help us to pick up these five stones. And please deal with those giants when we put our trust in you. So come, Lord Jesus. Show us how real you are. And then bring the joy back into our lives. We ask this in your name.